Hello and welcome. Welcome back to All Things Urticaria. I'm Markus Maurer. I'm here in Berlin, and today is a special episode, a very special episode indeed. I have with me my friend, colleague, and fellow podcaster, Thomas Buttgereit. Thomas, hello.
Hello, Markus. Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Well, thank you. You invited me to your spectacular new podcast, All Things Angioedema, and I was lucky enough to be your guest on your first episode. How do you like it so far?
I really enjoy it, being the host of such a great initiative, having a podcast and talking about my favorite research topic is always fun. And today it's a special situation for me. It's my first time I'm invited as a guest. Yeah, I've always been the host.
It's fun. I also came to love my podcast. Gives me so many really nice opportunities to talk to friends and colleagues, learn from them. So look forward to a very bright future of your podcast. I listen to all your episodes. I love them. And I can't wait for the next one to come out. Thank you for being with me on All Things Urticaria today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
Look, I promised I would invite you after you had invited me, not just to have you on. We talk about angioedema quite a bit on All Things Urticaria, but you recently very successfully launched CARE, the Chronic Angioedema Registry, and I would love to hear a little bit more about why do we need this, what can it do, who can participate, but let's start at the beginning. Chronic Angioedema Registry, CARE, for all patients or all types of angioedema, I understand.
Yeah, that's correct, Markus. So this is actually the first registry that includes patients with all types of angioedema. So muscle-mediated angioedema with urticaria, for example, HAE, hereditary angioedema, ACE, inhibitor-induced angioedema, angioedema, hereditary angioedema of unknown origin. So really patients that have this symptom, this disease, angioedema, but of any type. And this is something which is completely new in this community. And I believe this was always a great wish and expected to have sooner or later such a registry. And of course, the main goal of this registry is to gain more knowledge and real life evidence in this condition, right? This is something which we missed so far.
Absolutely. And considering that many types of angioedema are really rare, super rare, I think this is the only way we can do this. No center has enough patients to really characterize them in detail. I think it's a fantastic initiative, and thank you to the ACARE Network for making that happen.
Yeah, thank you very much. I would also say without these experts in this great network, it wouldn't have been possible to establish such a registry. We need specialists who really treat patients, who do research in this field, that all contributed with their knowledge in the concept of this registry, right? With the variables we designed. And this wasn't easy. It really was not easy to have the variables that fit to all the types and also the right branching that patients really understand also the questions they see there in this registry. So this was a tough job, but without the help of these experts, it wouldn't have been possible. So many thanks to the whole community, the whole ACARE network, and many of them are also in the UCARE network. So it's always good to have them on board.
Yeah, well, I really like that CARE is the twin registry of CURE, the Chronic Urticaria Registry, where we've learned for, I think it is 10 years now, how to do this and how to run this. But before we come to what is captured in CARE and how this is done, let's talk a little bit about the setup. So I understand you have a fairly big size steering committee that has helped you with the selection of the variables and putting all of this together. Can you talk a little bit more about who all is helping you with this?
So, of course, we have the experts. The experts who are all in the International Steering Committee, they come from different specialties, from all continents, different countries, and they are all experts in, most of them are both experts, eudicariologists and angioedemiologists, and they helped me with the design, with the input, with the scientific background of this registry. But of course, I also have much help with a great team from the care office, yeah, that really helps me to do all this contracting and all the the contributions to the email conversations and all this work behind. And also, of course, the ACARE office helps me, yeah, really publishing and writing newsletter that CARE will come to help make CARE great. And of course, also here in our ACARE in Berlin, I have lots of help with the recruitment team who really select patients in advance to see, okay, this patients may fit in this registry to, and will answer them and provide input and data.
Perfect. And I really like that you, with the team, reached out to all stakeholders, essentially, and you had patients weigh in on what should be captured and how this should be done.
Yeah.
Partners from industry who provided feedback. And I understand you have a whole statistician and programming team who's helping you, and then medical writers. And it's just great to see, and in a very short time. I mean, when did you start with this? It's not that long.
Actually, in April, May, we started with it. And we successfully included the first patients in October. So we are really hardworking.
Fantastic.
Yeah, also with the statistician team. And this is also something I'm really thankful for, because when we design a variable, for example, and the possibilities, options to answer, it is always good to discuss with this with our stats about, because does it really make sense to ask a question like this and provide these answer options for later data analysis, or wouldn't it be better to use other variables, other ways to answer? So this is always nice to have in advance to work together on this to make it as best as possible.
Oh, super. Yeah. Great to see. Congratulations again. And I understand, just like CURE, you have a baseline entry, which is a bit more comprehensive than the follow-up entries. But unlike CURE, you went straight to digital. So how does that work, Thomas?
We will see. So I had positive feedback from the first patients included in CARE, but this was my major aim. You know, we are in 2023 now. We are the future is digital. We do not want to use paper forms anymore. It's a lot of work to transfer the data into a digital data bank from paper forms, where also mistakes can happen. And so that's why I decided right at the beginning to run this digital. And as you said, yes, we have a baseline questionnaire. We have follow-up questionnaires for both patients and physicians. And we expect that the baseline questionnaire takes about, let's say 20 minutes. So it's a bit longer, but the follow-up depends on how much the patients have to report about their disease, how well their disease is controlled. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. And we use a digital platform for this, which is a well-established platform. It's called REDCap. It's known all over the world and frequently used already. So it's a data capture platform for surveys. And this then will be even afterwards transferred to a much, which we already have for CURE. It's called SecuTrial. It's also a data capture database, a secure way to save data.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And this is important, full privacy and data protection implemented, and yet making it easy then to go to this Secu trial database and ask questions, do the analyses, and then publish together.
Yeah.
How does that work? Of course, many people will be very interested in these data because there are many unanswered questions that mm-hmm. CARE will be a unique source of information for. So how does one use CARE and their data to answer questions and to publish?
So ideally, it's like this. So the investigators, of course, are part of CARE. So they include patients. They contribute also physician questionnaire data, patient questionnaire data of their patients to CARE. And when they have a certain number of patients included, they can propose ideas for analysis projects. They want to learn from and want to have analyses about, and this proposal then goes to the CARE office, which mm-hmm. manages all these proposals for analysis, and the International Steering Committee and the International Steering Committee leaders then will decide and to go for this analysis manages this. Yeah, so this is it's always a joint initiative, and it really depends on how much data we have, and it really directly always comes from the scientists, the research.
Fantastic. I know you had to make a selection because people are very curious about all types of angioedema, yeah. but you wanted to keep it manageable for patients and physicians. So what are some of the core variables that you in the end decided to bring on board? Give us some ideas.
There are so many, Markus. It always starts with demographics. So how old uh-huh. is the patient, background and sex and so on. So this is always standard, but of course CARE asks for so many things: symptoms, signs and symptoms. It asks about treatment, current treatment, previous treatments, changes of treatments,
very
and
important.
Why. And we ask for that. We know for all types of angioedema, there's a possibility to treat on demand, acute treatment, but there's also for many types a possibility to have some prophylactic treatment. So in this registry, we need to differ between these treatment options. And for HAE, for example, we also know that some patients use short-term prophylaxis. Mm. So this is also something which is covered. We ask in HAE for prodromes, which I'm also interested in, how many patients have prodromes. And this is also something that came from the International Steering Committee. Many have prodromes, but not every prodrome leads to an attack.
Very
and
true.
Does it depend on the type of prodrome and how many percent does it happen? So these are some questions that all researchers have, and there's still no answer. This is something we really wanted to address in this registry, and we did. And we also asked for comorbidities. There are some publications out which really question if there are some links to certain comorbidities yeah. in types of HAE, for example, or also muscle-driven disease. So this is really something we also address there to have more real-life data on these questions raised. We look also for the locations where angioedema mm. happens. So we also use modern technologies here with body maps. Really using a Likert scale and a VAS scale on saying, okay, how much does this angioedema swelling itch, yeah, mm. or cause burning sensation? So really also get some novel insights into the symptoms and course of the disease, of course, what is then also covered in the follow-up questionnaires.
Super. Well, super, super. And those who are interested can, of course, go to chronic-angioedema-registry.com. Or if you forget, just go to the eCare website and look there for the link to CARE, the Chronic Angioedema Registry. All the variables are there. Also the governance and the background. Really very nice website that you developed here to inform people about this registry. Now, it's a global registry, so we expect many patients to be included. And if I understand you correctly, these two parts, the questionnaire for patients and the very short questionnaire for the treating physician, then goes into the database. And people who do this can, of course, access their own data. And anyone who is it 10, 20, I don't know, has a certain set number of patients included can suggest an analysis and a project. What are the numbers here? What's the benefit for investigators to include patients in CARE?
So the benefit, it's all exactly true, Marcus, what you said. So the great benefit is to do research, to learn more about patients, to improve care, patient care in our daily work, because in many cases patients come and ask, why do I have this recurrent angioedema? And in some cases we really also have to say, well, actually we are not 100% sure about, but what we know from our registry data is that these are risk factors, so on. So it really will improve your daily treatment and daily outpatient clinic, and writing papers, doing research, really bringing some knowledge, more knowledge into the world. This is something which I believe is also in the heads of many, many physicians, that they want to help patients, but they also want to help and improve research in the fields. And I think this is one of them. The things that motivates people to do CARE and work with CARE. And it's exactly what you said, Marcus. We have these questionnaires which have to be answered by the patients, and a very short one with the physician. Mm-hmm. So the patient has always the opportunity when they come in the outpatient clinic and in the visit, in the conversation with the treating doctor, to reach out and ask some questions if there is something which is not understood correctly. And the physician then, in the end, confirms the diagnosis. And sometimes it's a very trivial diagnosis. It's, for example, HAE as a relevant differential diagnosis of urticaria, but where you just have to say it's a suspected or confirmed diagnosis. And in even tricky cases like HAE of unknown origin, or where you actually do not know the type of angioedema, what the cause is, the physician is asked to provide some more information on it. Why is it unknown? Mm-hmm. Is there any response to antihistamines already documented? Or is this patient responding to omalizumab or not? And so we also learn about really physicians all over the world recognize about angioedema and urticaria and all other rare types of angioedema. So this is really important and relevant input, I think.
Yeah, no, super. And we know from CURE that it's a lot of fun and to publish together and develop these manuscripts, or start by developing questions that can be answered, really is a great way for members of our community to interact and also come up with new research questions that could then be addressed inside or outside of the registry. It's a really nice instrument as well. Thomas, I imagine that many people will now be excited about care, joining care, and this could be patients going to their physicians, telling them, I want to be in care. How do we do this? It could be physicians at centers of reference and excellence like ACARES or outside of it. What's the process? How do physicians and or patients become part of care?
So the process is actually quite easy. So So the physicians, as you said, can visit us online on the website, on the care website, and there's a contact. And the major contact is the care office. Mm-hmm. And the care office helps with all the organizational issues. So, for example, helps with ethics votes. So if there is any translation needed of the documents, some of them are already uploaded. So the ethics proposal is uploaded as well as patient information and informed consent. If there's any help needed, the care office helps. Also with setting up all the agreements, the collaboration agreements, which are needed to join care are already provided there, and care office will help with this. And in the end, the researchers, the physicians will then receive the link to join care and to start with the recruitment by using REDCap, with a REDCap link. And then that's basically it.
Cool, very cool. So it's straightforward, a brief agreement, ethics that is already available and just needs to provide it to the local ethics, and then you're ready to roll. You get your login and you can start entering your first patients. And first patients are already in. That's exciting. Yep. Many centers are in the process now of getting these agreements on board and getting ethics on board. So we do hope that the number of participating physicians, centers, patients, and also countries where care is implemented will increase very soon. What are the means of spreading the word, of letting the world know that care is now up and running? Of course, we're doing this podcast episode, so I guess that's already making people aware of care. Are there other ways that you and the ACARE network are using?
Yeah, so we are, of course, telling about care all people who listen to lectures, to our webinars, to the preceptorships we do, because we often say, okay, this is what the clinical trials say. This is that treatments work, for example, or that some specialized studies as a result can tell you, but we need real world evidence, and this is something which always comes in the end, where we say, do you really want to learn more with more patients, from more patients? If this hypothesis is really true, let's look if this can be covered by the variables we have in care and make a project out of this. Mm-hmm. So this is something I always and then in the end say, but of course I also plan to upload some videos with some more practical guidelines and ideas how to implement care into the daily in your daily practice as a physician. So there's many things are planned, and many things I have already done. So we are still in the process to make this really great. There will be, of course, also the conference, the UK conference, where I have a poster and I will talk much about care. As you know, mast cell-driven disease, recurrent angioedema in urticaria is really the most frequent form of recurrent angioedema. So it perfectly fits into UK conference in Brazil.
Absolutely agree. And people out there, if you are now excited about care and want to help the care team and Thomas, by all means, reach out to him and help us spread the word so that many physicians know about this opportunity. Many patients can ask their physicians to be included in care. It's really about letting the world know that care is now up and running. And Thomas, I know that you have big plans. You want to establish a link to apps that patients use so that more than one data set can be combined. I know that you're working on a pregnancy module. I know that you're considering a biobank to come into care. Many, many things that are still in the works. And of course, it takes many shoulders and a lot of support to do that. So let us finish today by some speculation. No speculation on where will care go. What do you expect will happen in terms of numbers of patients included, support, which is of course essential to finance the whole project? What's your vision on this?
Actually, my vision is to have thousands of patients in the next couple of years included into care. And I think, as you said, Markus, there's so much potential care has. We can link it to apps that track disease activity so that we in advance possibly can see if a patient is not controlled anymore in their disease or not. And I really expect that we will have global data, from many patients from with different ethnicities. And I think care will grow and grow. It really will grow. And we will connect with each other, and there will be even a connection sooner or later with cure, so that patients that have urticaria actually have the way to switch to care or combine the data to learn even more. So this is so many visions I have, cannot put them all into words because probably it's too early, but I'm convinced about the whole concept.
I know you are, and I'm convinced that you will make a lot of this happen step by step. Very happy to see care now online on time, and also want to thank everyone who has helped you to get to this point. Thomas, thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure, Markus. It was really fun to be the guest for at the first time.
Yeah, super. It won't be the last time, because I'm looking forward to your updates on where we stand with care. Yep. What have we learned? All of this coming within the next month and years. So I'm sure we will have another episode sometime soon. I wish you the best of luck, fun, and success. Keep doing what you're doing. It's working, and I'm really happy to see that we are now connected by yet another great instrument, CARE, the Chronic Angioedema Registry. And people, if you are curious now or excited about joining, you will find all the information you need in the show notes right here with this episode. Please also go to the ACARE website and check out what else ACARE is doing. And don't forget about UCARE. There's also lots of happening in the UCARE network. I want to thank all of the supporters, also financial supporters of CARE, ACARE, UCARE, CURE. This is not possible without generous support. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. And with that, people, that's all the time we have today for all things urticaria. Many more episodes to come, and possibly some to listen to. If you missed them, listen to them all and let us know what you would like us to talk about in our future episode of All Things Urticaria. And please go and listen to Thomas's podcast as well, All Things Angioedema. I'll hear you soon. Stay healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.